The Initial Reaction Podcast is with you once again, where we are one of many, many things you could be doing on your Friday night, or whenever you listen to us. I'm J.R. Radcliffe from Lake Country Publications and Now Newspapers.
I thought you were going to go with welcome to the Initial Reaction Podcast. We're pleased to get your Electoral College votes today.
No, I don't. I pretend
stay with the topic, bro.
I pretend that the election is not happening because I want nothing to do with it. I'll cast my vote
and move
along.
It's over.
It's over.
And
now,
by saying it's over, I mean it's nowhere near over, and that I can guarantee there will be lawsuits and so much going on anyway. Anyway, how about sports, huh?
Sports are great. We hate each other in real life and we hate each other in sports, but at least in sports it's a lot more friendly.
We don't love sports right now. Have you seen the team that played on Sunday afternoon?
Oh, the Green Bay Packers.
Sports are awful.
Yeah.
Well, now let's talk about the Bucks blowing a lead in the fourth quarter, then losing in overtime to the winless Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, the Milwaukee Bucks are bad, or at least they were that night.
No, they're not. Stop it.
I'm confused where you want me to fall here. You're going a few different directions for me, JP.
I'm letting everyone know that we've been on top of things and that we mean business when it comes to Initial Reaction.
Perhaps that's true in some dimension, but here on this version of Initial Reaction, we'll be talking about football Friday nights, not the high school kind. The Big Ten announced on Tuesday afternoon its slate of Friday night football games, some real barn burners in store, including two games on September 1st, the great Washington-Rutgers rivalry we've all been waiting for, and then the Badgers, the Wisconsin Badgers, your Wisconsin Badgers, opening the season against Utah State, conflicting directly with week three of the 2017 high school season, which has set everyone a tizzy, JP, including people around the sport, people who cover the sport. Everyone seems to be kind of upset that the Wisconsin Badgers are interfering with the hallowed institution of football Friday nights at the high school level.
You know how proud the Big Ten is of this move of making Friday night football a thing now? You know how proud they are of it?
How proud are they?
They dropped the news on election day.
You're right. When everyone is paying attention to Big Ten football for 2017.
They could have announced this Friday at 5 p.m. and gotten infinitely more attention. Friday at 5 is like the go-to time when companies drop their bad PR releases.
Yes.
That's because people forget about it all weekend.
Take out the trash days if you are a West Wing person.
Unbelievable. They dropped this on election day?
And you pointed this out. The first week we're going to have Friday Night Football is at September 1st. And the whole point of this was to find a new television window that had not been occupied by other things. So they could reach a broader
audience. Yep, so we
could
get more eyeballs on Big Ten games. Look at our ratings. Look at our money come in. Yep.
And then
whole thing is create new windows.
Two games being played on the same night. They're literally cannibalizing themselves.
Unbelievable.
They're not literally cannibalizing themselves. But
how is this possible?
I think it's possible because I'm not sure they put a whole lot of thought into it. Maybe I when they initially came out with the release a couple weeks ago saying that they were planning on having Friday Night Football, which created a little bit of an uproar in the high school football community. They initially said in that column that they had contacted all the high school associations around the Midwest involving Big Ten, Big Ten states, so to speak. And that they had reached out to them, gotten input, that everybody seemed to be on board. And then, of course, the Wisconsin people said they had not yet been contacted by Jim Delaney, that came after the release of the story. And there was another, I think it was Indiana or Illinois, had not been contacted. I mean, Penn State has said unequivocally they will not do this. They will not host a Friday night game to interfere with high school football on Friday nights. So at the very least, the Big Ten didn't have all their bases covered, and which I think is odd for an institution that's been doing this for a while and knows how to go about things like this. So that already strikes me as maybe they were rushing a little bit into this.
And yeah, so Penn State is not on the calendar for next year, and neither is Michigan. And Michigan and Jim Harbaugh were also very much in opposition to this, saying they were not going to do it. So, they did get Michigan State, which is a bigger name. They're absolutely terrible this year. They're going to play Rutgers this weekend. One of those teams is going to get their first Big Ten win, and that's insane to say something that isn't week one. But anyway, so Michigan State is a bigger name. They got included, but no Ohio State, no Michigan, and no Penn State. So the three biggest teams, the best teams in the East right now, are not on there. Wisconsin and Nebraska are on. Looks like Minnesota and Iowa were spared in the West. So this is not – These are not the marquee games. Something that everybody knew as soon as this came out, that you're not going to see Michigan, Ohio State on Friday night. You're not going to see, Wisconsin, Minnesota or Wisconsin, Iowa. You're not going to see the big games. the three conference games we get, Nebraska at Illinois, Northwestern at Maryland, Michigan State at Northwestern. Even if I wasn't going to be at a high school football game, even if I wasn't going to be out at dinner or doing something fun with my life, I wouldn't tune into those games anyway. They are such crap that they are serving up Ohio at Purdue. I mean, this is just, yeah. If it wasn't the Big Ten, we'd think it was a joke. But based on Legends and Leaders and Maryland and Rutgers, we know that this is what they want.
Well, yes, like you said, we knew we weren't going to get the main courses on a Friday night. I mean, that doesn't even make sense. You don't put your best TV on a Friday night when people are out, like you said, doing things with their lives. So I guess I don't know. I'm interested in this conversation about whether or not this is a big deal for high school football. I realize why people are upset. Friday night is, in traditional sense, a high school football night. And I've written a column about this when this landed last week. I just really don't see it. I don't feel like this is really going to be that big a deal. I mean, we live in a world of DVR and smartphones and, you know, however you want to access the game information, there's plenty of options for you. This isn't something that people are not going to have to choose and say, I need to stay home tonight and not go to my son's high school football game. Because again, we're talking about mostly parents and friends who are going to these games with some community members. People are not going to say, I'm going to stay home and watch Utah State, Wisconsin, when I can just get updates on Twitter the whole night and maybe watch it on playback when I get home. I just don't see how this invades the high school space. I get why people are upset, but I don't think it's a big deal. It's a tiny ripple.
Well, it definitely invades the high school space. I mean, that's not a debate. I mean, this is 1,000% a money-grabbing, awful move that nobody was clamoring for, including the schools, especially the players, are not asking for shorter rest days and to add more chaos into things. This is not something that anybody wanted. Now, if you're asking, is it a big deal? Probably not. But you were talking about the high school games where you said it's family, friends, and some community members who are going. Well, now those community members aren't going to go. The family and friends will go. I wouldn't be surprised if the students have a smaller turnout. Obviously, the parents, I think, are pretty loyal to their kids, so I think they're good there. But you are cannibalizing the attendance. You're cannibalizing the eyeballs on our games, which air on Friday nights. We don't know what we're going to do, you know, for that. The Wisconsin game falls in week 3, like you said at the start of the show. So we don't know. Are high school teams going to move their games to Thursday or Saturday? Are we going to move our games? What's the Green Bay Packers preseason schedule going to look like? Are the Packers going to play? Because they play on Thursdays and Fridays. Are they going to play that night, the night before? So it's weird and it's unnecessary. Obviously, everybody understands money. I mean, if somebody offers me a certain amount of money to do a certain thing, chances are I'll do it. I'll weigh the cost benefit and then it's probably good enough. Big Ten weighs the cost benefit of this move and they said that it's good enough, even if it is Utah State and Wisconsin.
I'm sure the money is fine. It's for them, it's going to be about weighing the goodwill. Obviously, college programs rely on the high school programs in terms of relationship to funnel recruits into the college program. So they want to have a healthy relationship for the most part. I just reject the notion that we're talking about a lot of people staying home. Yeah, there are some community members who are going to choose Wisconsin in this preseason game against a lesser opponent over a high school game. That's going to happen. Maybe there's 15 people per game on average that are going to not show up that night. And I refuse to believe it's more than that. I just don't believe we're talking about a critical mass of people. These are week 3 games, which can be big. Typically the conference season has started then, but we're not talking about high school playoff games where the place is packed. We're talking about modestly attended games. I still think there are a lot of people that are going to go and follow along on the Wisconsin game on their cell phone and still get to watch a little bit of high school football too. To me, I just don't know. I just don't feel like there's enough of an audience that we're talking about getting where there's an intersection, a huge intersection. Certainly a lot of people are going to care. I just don't think they're going to care enough.
So then put it this way. Forget about the high school cannibalizing that high school audience. Think about the Badgers audience on that Friday night. How many – Camp Randall holds 80,000 people on a normal fall Saturday. How many people do you think are going to be in the stands on a Friday night for Utah State, Wisconsin?
But I don't care about the Wisconsin point of view. They're the ones – the Big Tens are the ones that are moving to Friday night. So they have to deal with that consequence. And I agree that –
Well, but it all filters into the fact that this is a mistake, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. Okay, sure.
I mean, there's so many bad angles to this that there are no good ways to look at it. The only argument that you're presenting is that it's not – it's not as bad as people want it to be. It's not that it's good for high school, but it's not as bad as people are clamoring it's going to be. Correct. There are absolutely no good things about this. And I'm talking about from the Big Ten and the university's standpoint, this hurts them. On Friday night against Utah State, I don't believe they're going to get more than 65,000 people in the stands for a stadium that seats 80,000. That includes students. That includes people who drive from Wausau, from Milwaukee, from Darlington, from Dubuque, from Green Bay, from all over. It's less time. You're asking them to now take either hours off of work or an entire day off of work to come tailgate, which, first of all, sounds kind of awesome, and I'm in if I get to take a day off of work and go tailgate. But a lot of people don't have that freedom to do that, and I just don't believe that the traffic with everything that goes into it, I don't think this is a winning situation for the Big Ten.
I think that's a good point if you're talking about attendance at the stadium. You make a very good point. I think the TV revenues are what matter, and I don't know if gate attendance is ever going to be something that top three that they're talking about. I think this is an interesting experiment to see just exactly what impact it has for Wisconsin. Once you've seen this first run of Friday night games, do teams like it? Do they like going out of their ordinary schedule? Is it something that isn't going to draw a lot of people? Is it something that's not going to, draw a lot of eyeballs to TV sets? I think that'll be something that we learn through the first, the first wave of these games. The part that I really object, though, too, is the idea that Friday is so sacrosanct for high school football games and that this is an encroachment on something that is this established tradition. While it maybe is a little bit of an encroachment on the tradition, I just don't think that's a big enough deal, especially given how we have Thursday night football and midweek college games and high school games on Thursday.
But look at the rebellion. Look at the rebellion about that. When was the last time you watched a Thursday night football game? Please say not for a while. Please say not for a while.
I think it's
not good.
I did see a couple snaps this week, I have to say.
But it's not good. Obviously, are at football burnout, are we not?
Oh, I agree with you. Yes, you're right. In a macro sense, you're absolutely right.
I saw a commercial for this week's Thursday night game, and of course I forgot who it was because it's not an event at all.
Oh, it's Cleveland. Cleveland and Baltimore.
Sorry.
The only reason I know that is because I was working on some stuff about Joe Thomas, who plays for the Cleveland Browns. The only reason I know that.
Okay. So it's that, but I saw a commercial, kickoff is at 7:15, pregame starts at 5, and I'm just like, oh my God, what is this? This is the worst burnout that we're experiencing. It's every day. It's literally every day of the week that we're subjected to it. Anyway, so that's what I was saying. We're already getting burnout, and I think the Big Ten ratings for this, I am a Big Ten apologist to no end. I will support them because I'm a Big Ten homer, but I hope the ratings just completely tank. You and I won't be watching because 99% of the time we're going to be out at a high school game on that Friday for any of these Fridays. But I just, if I was not that, I would not watch just purely out of principle. Just this is trash to me.
Well, sure, you could do that. But if your point is that there's too much football, that's fine. I don't know if it's college games' fault. I think it's, the NFL spreading to Thursday, I think, is the most obvious example of what you're saying about this burnout. And I even respect the idea that they're trying to get more money. It's obviously not a very comfortable thought, but that's what they're doing.
It's weird to say, but yeah. Well, you're trying to get more money in your personal life, aren't you?
Of course, everyone is. Yeah, let's get more money. I'll take some, take some, whatever. I feel personally that high school football is special on its own, and the virtues it has, those are not going to be, obscured by the fact that there's another game going on at the same time. I talk about this in my column. One of my biggest disappointments during the year is that I can't watch the high school state tournament and the NCAA tournament at the same time. They happen at the same time. And it's too difficult to try to navigate that. They're some of the biggest games in Wisconsin history in recent years. I've been on press row at a high school tournament. That's just the nature of playing in season the same time as the college and the pro circuit, which is pretty much every sport. Yep. That's just the way it goes. That happens. Yeah. There's crossover.
So you know what we should do? We should get rid of that and move it and move football games on to Friday night to create another controversy. That's good plan, JR. Proud of you.
That's exactly right. Why don't we just move why don't we move the NCAA tournament to Monday and Tuesday? Come on. What's so hard about that?
No, why don't we keep college football games on Saturdays, and that way on Friday you don't have two things to keep track of. Just a wild thought.
Yes. I'm confused.
You know what's weird?
I'm confused what we're left with, but I like it.
Well, you know what we're left with?
What?
two more Friday night football games. That's it.
Right. We're almost there to the end.
Where were you Friday night, huh, buddy?
I was a ways away. I was in Monroe, Wisconsin.
You had a road game, huh?
Yep, 2 hours away, Monroe, Wisconsin, just south and west of Madison. It was a good level three game against Pewaukee. It was a 7-3 game. Pewaukee reached level four for the first time in school history. Not a lot of offense. It did feature a goal line stand, which is pretty amazing. It was first and goal on the three and then second and goal on the one. And Pewaukee stuffed them, got four downs and got the ball back. And Monroe only runs the ball pretty much, even though they passed quite a bit in this game for them. But they're a running team, and that's their specialty, and they couldn't quite get it done. So a really great sort of clash of strengths in that end. I enjoyed it. It was a great game. For 7-3, I know that sounds boring. I had a great time at my level three game. I thought it was very entertaining.
And the most significant part for me is that Pewaukee's never been there. I mean, how much did the players care? Did coach care?
They've been circling that.
Well, but I could see where, you know, they might be so focused on the task at hand that they're just like, yeah, that doesn't have anything to do with us. You know, this team hasn't been anywhere yet.
Right.
So no, they cared though.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't know if it was, you know, level four is the end all be all, because they obviously want to go one step further, two steps further for that matter, but they definitely were recognizing the accomplishment. I'm sure Brookfield East was the same way with their 21-0 win over Brookfield Central, which probably counts as the most eye-opening outcome of level three in our area since Central beat them pretty handily the first time they met in the regular season. So yeah, two teams going to level four for the first time. Brookfield East has to travel to Stevens Point to face Menominee, and then Pewaukee gets to stay closer to home at Kettle Moraine, very close to home, but they have to face Catholic Memorial, which is the number one team in Division III. So that's going to be a pretty entertaining battle as well.
Nice. Franklin's really good at football. I don't know if you know that, but I know that to be a fact after Franklin beat Marquette 45-23 on Friday night. They passed the ball really well. I think it was 423 yards for junior QB Max Alba, five touchdowns. I know that for sure. And you know, I didn't necessarily ask this. I kind of hinted at it though, that, you know, passing in Wisconsin in November isn't necessarily a given, but with the weather that we've been having, you know, I mean, this is like week six weather that we've been in, and Friday's going to be a little colder, but it looks like it's going to be dry so far, knock on wood. So Franklin can keep that passing attack going against a Badger offense that hates throwing the ball, hates it.
Yes.
So that'll be fun.
I don't know off the top of my head who all the candidates are that we have for our All-Suburban Coach of the Year, but I don't right now know how anybody but Lewis Brown from Franklin can win that award. I mean, I suppose Dave Keel from Homestead is always going to be in the conversation as they get closer to yet another trip to Camp Randall. But Lewis Brown and Franklin was awesome last year. I mean, there's no question that team was one of the best in the state, if not the best. I would have loved to have seen Franklin face off with Kimberly.
Sure.
I mean, that was going to be amazing. And they had all these seniors, and they were totally ready to win a state title. And they lost in a level four thriller where they had a bad snap on the last play that could have been the game-winning touchdown. It was just kind of this heartbreaking, unbelievable loss, their only loss of the year. And then they graduated all those people. I mean, they had just this crazy
28 seniors.
28 seniors. And then they come back this year. It's all juniors and sophomores. I saw them in week one. No, it's not. I mean, last year's juniors and sophomores. I saw them in week one against Maguanago. They were not in sync. They said that after the game. It's not a secret. They did not play super well. Maguanago had, I thought, a pretty inspired performance. They won the game, and Franklin lost. It's like, yeah, it's going to be a tough one for Franklin this year. It's going to be a long road back. And then they've won every game since, and they have looked very good doing it. Max Alba is just the latest in a line of tremendous quarterbacks to have come through at Franklin. He's a junior. He had an injury midway through the year, and they had to really sort of improvise. His younger freshman brother at one point was playing quarterback for them, and they managed to keep winning. They won the Southeast Conference. Alba's back playing at an absolute high level. I mean, the guy is a stud, and that shouldn't surprise you with a Franklin quarterback, but this guy is a stud. And he's got a couple receivers, Ethan Wittenberg and Kyle Lewis, who've put up some eye-popping numbers.
They're good
defensive front. I mean, this Latron Kirksprewer and Hawk Wimmer are two of the better defenders around. They could actually go to Madison, which would be so ironic because last year's team was so elite and maybe the best they've ever had. And yet this year's team, with all those graduation losses, is now one step away from the Holy Grail.
Well, there you go. You just recited my entire story and their entire quotes from tonight's episode of Sports Weekly.
I wasn't even there.
Can watch, and you can get highlights of the things that you were just talking about, like Kyle Lewis and Ethan Wittenberg. So Good stuff. Yeah, I think they are going to beat Badger, and they will get a shot at Kimberly, like you were talking about last year. And there's no guarantee. I mean, Kimberly is on this insane winning streak, yes, but all it takes is one game. You know, I don't know. It sounds so dumb, but like they're not carrying 56 wins into the state title game. They're carrying technically 13. You know, or they're carrying one. So they're not this unbeatable power. They just happen to be a little bit better on each day, and maybe Franklin can do it. I don't know.
That said, if Kimberly doesn't win the Division I state title,
yeah,
it's still going to be surprising.
You sense me tailing off a little bit.
Well, I mean, like I said, I would have loved to have seen last year's Franklin play Kimberly. This year's Franklin, it would still be a great matchup. Don't get me wrong, and the Sabres absolutely have a shot, but Kimberly is the best team in the state until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we should take a look at these final matchups and maybe decide, maybe make a game out of it, JP. What do you think?
Oh, that sounds very fun. So in my head, I'm thinking maybe if we like kind of ranked their chances of winning, but rank them in a way that we could pit it against each other.
Yes.
What do you think? Do you think that would work out?
I like lots of things. I like chocolate, the Milwaukee Brewers, and being better than JP Cadoran at stuff. So let's
two out of three ain't bad.
Let's make a draft. Let's draft who we think. Let's go back and forth. We'll get a team. We'll get our teams of five teams each, and whoever comes away with the most state championships after the end of two Fridays from now is declared the winner. We're going to assemble who we think have the best chance of winning a state championship. They got to win two more games apiece, and our group of five teams versus my group versus your group. What do you say?
You know what's unbelievable?
What?
I have prepared a list of 10 teams ranked in order of who I think has the best shot to win the state championship.
I actually did not do quite as much prep, I don't think. I do
have come on.
I have a list. I have a little bit of work, but I think you're intimidated by me, and that's why you're doing all the prep work. That's what I suspect.
The only thing that I did not prep is how do we decide who goes first?
Oh, I've got that. I've got a trivia question for you.
Fair enough.
Which between the two of us, who has more Twitter followers? And if you get it right, you get to go first.
I actually just looked at mine the other day.
You did.
I'm short of 3,000. I'm at like either 2,700, 2,900. I don't know. I don't know what you are. This is really tough.
I sense that you're looking me up right now. I can feel
no,
it.
I'm not. I'm playing with my pen. It's a Hilton pen on a note. I'm going to say that you have more.
Oh, JP, I underestimated. I really thought that you would go with the vain route and choose yourself.
You thought my ego would win?
Is that an unfair thing to think? I mean, I would think that's...
Maybe. Yeah. Only with you. Wait, so am I right?
You are wrong. You actually do have more followers than I.
Okay. All right, so since I'm wrong, that means you get to go first?
That's correct.
So maybe you get to choose if you go first, if you want to play some strategy.
I tell you what, I will play strategy. I will... You know what? Because I'm a nice guy and because I know what your number one pick is going to be, and I want you to have that honor because I'm going to beat you anyway. I will allow you to have the first pick.
Well, you're very mean in saying that I'm predictable. I will say that it was very, very tough between my first and second choice.
Okay.
Between two and three, I did not have as much trouble, but between one and two, it was very tough.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you the first dibs. Tell me who your first pick is. Who do you think is most likely to win a state title in 2 weeks?
I'm Team Papermakers. I'm sorry. I got to – you watch it. Listen, until – you just said it. Until proven otherwise, they're the best team in the state. And I do think I even looked at their matchups between Stevens Point. They didn't play even though they're in the same conference, different divisions. They played a lot of the same teams. A lot of them are pretty close. But, I mean, this is the reason that Kimberly football exists right now is to win each week and get yourself in a position to play for a state title. And – I think they are in the best position to win a state title.
Yeah, I agree with you. That would have been my number one pick as well. Now, do I get to pick twice? Is that how this works?
No.
Is it a snake draft? No. Okay.
Do you think so? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, it would be kind of fair, but whatever. I'll play this way because I'm still going to beat you. So I'm actually going to go out on a little bit of a limb with my first pick because, and I don't know if it's a huge limb. I mean, St. Mary Springs has won the last two Division VI state championships, unquestionably one of the gold standard programs in the state of Wisconsin. But they do have a pretty tough semifinal matchup against Darlington, who's really one of the other gold standard programs. I would feel pretty comfortable with the winner of that game winning the next one. I would pick that, certainly. So I'm not positive Springs makes it out. They did beat Amherst, who's probably going to win Division 5. They did beat them earlier this season in a really close game, so... That tells me as a D6 program, Springs is pretty tough. They beat Lake Country Lutheran pretty convincingly, and I was a pretty big believer in Lake Country Lutheran. So I'm going to say Springs is my first round pick. I picked them to win the D6 title.
Very nice. I agree. I went back and forth on who to pick, Darlington or Springs, and then I would feel good about them. But since I don't know who's even going to be in the final, they are down on my list. And that means I get my second overall pick, JR.
Ooh, you're so lucky, JP. Tell me.
This was my nemesis growing up. Had a lot of good battles with this team on the hockey rink. But on the football field, they are darn near unstoppable. So my second pick will be the Catholic Memorial Crusaders.
Very good. And I think Memorial, I've said this all year, I think they will win D3. But Notre Dame won D3 last year, and they're still very, very good. Remember, Notre Dame's only loss is to Bayport, and we're surprised Bayport isn't in level 4 of D1. So that's, you know,
yeah, that's
risky.
Something that should have been our lead today, because when I – you know, after tracking the games Friday night and kind of looking at them Friday and then even, well, no, just late Friday night, I cannot believe that we have a level 4 of this year's tournament without Brookfield Central, Menasha, without Arrowhead, and without Marquette. I mean, those are four teams that just every single year have been in level 4. So just crazy to me the way that things worked out. Oh, and without Waukesha West,
right,
too. That was
Waukesha
my
West,
other one.
Yeah. Waukesha West
unbelievable.
By a very good Monona Grove team, which I think is a 3-seed
or 5-seed.
Double
overtime,
seed.
Right? No, Monona Grove is a 5-seed, yeah.
Yeah, so they win in overtime. They go for two in one of those, you know, traditional everything on the line plays and won. So they get to advance to face Homestead, and Homestead is actually going to be my number 2 pick. And
there you go.
I think D2 is pretty balanced, but I'm just pretty much a big believer in what Dave Keel and his staff of merry men have going on there. They always play so well this time of year. So I got Homestead. I think they win the D2 title. They are on my team.
Oh, those poor Highlanders. Just saying that they're on your team, just that can't feel good for them.
I don't know what you're talking about, JP. They are whatever. They don't mind. I mean, if they go to state, I'll actually be the one covering them, so I could be bringing them great luck, you realize.
Yes, you could be doing a lot of things, and you probably won't.
Yes.
My third pick then, I will drop down to Division Cuatro, which I don't know if you know, but that means Division 4 in Spanish. I'm taking the Little Chute Mustangs. I like them a lot. Just beat Freedom for the second time. Anybody who beats Freedom usually is not a good thing in my book. Anybody who beats Freedom, Liberty, Justice, etc. But in this case, beating Freedom is a good thing, and I like the Mustangs. They're faced up against St. Croix Central, who's number 4 seed on that side of the bracket, and then they have to face one of the Rivers, either River Valley or Two Rivers. And I like Little Chute a lot. They do play some small schools in their conference, but they also, you know, they play somebody like Menasha too in their conference, and they only lost 14-7. So I like Little Chute as my third pick to win a state title.
I think so 6 of the 7 reigning state champions are still alive, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. The only one that isn't is in Division 4. Osceola lost. In fact, the first 4 picks of our draft here are all reigning state champions. Little Chute was last in Level 4 2 years ago, and this is usually this is not a metric that really tells you a whole lot, but those other 3 teams, they don't regularly visit Level 4. They're teams that haven't been here in a long time. St. Croix Central, I think, was Level 5, 3, or Level 3, I should say, 5 years in a row before they finally broke through here. Two Rivers, I don't think they've been even to Level 3, maybe one time since they won the 1982 state championship. So these teams are sort of new arrivals. And that doesn't mean that they're not really good teams. It just means that they don't have this, like, tradition upon tradition upon tradition. I mean, that really does play a role later in the season when you get guys who are used to being at this level playing these types of games with these crowds. So I definitely think that favors Little Chute. That's one of the more wide-open divisions in my mind,
yep.
D4.
All right, are you going to have a third pick, or are you just going to say, you know what, JP, your picks are better, and I'm just going to call it a day?
Oh, no, I'm totally excited about how this is going. I'm going to beat you. So I'm taking Amherst in Division 5, reigning state champion. In my mind, they have a really tough matchup against Stanley Boyd here this week, and then I think after that, they're going to be your defending state champs yet again. I pick Amherst.
Stanley Boyd, I found out, is comprised of two towns, both by Eau Claire.
Would they be Stanley and Boyd?
They are, and that's where Littleshute is playing their game against St. Croix Central. I did not know any of that until I looked up where the heck Stanley Boyd was.
Yes, that's good. The more you know. Amherst has crushed people in the playoffs so far, so I really think they're I don't see them getting stopped anytime soon.
They're primed. They're primed, for a run here.
Yep, put them on my team.
All right, well, I think I'm about to pick my first controversial pick of the day.
Okay.
I'm going to go with my fourth pick, at least according to my pre-draft rankings. I'm going with the Franklin Sabres.
Okay, interesting.
I am. They were fifth on my list, but fourth that I'll get to choose from. Again, I mean, they're really good. I mean, they're really good. Their defense is good, and their offense is, you know, you could probably make the argument one of the best in the state. And I was very impressed what they did against an obviously good Marquette team. And if they get good weather, if they get passing football weather, they have the athletes to go up against anybody. So I will take Franklin, even though, you know, as I said, there's a chance they might lose to Badger. I think there's a chance that they beat Badger and maybe they catch Kimberly on a bad day. So I'm taking them with my fourth pick.
All right, sounds good. I'm going down into a territory I don't have a lot of experience in, so this is a risky pick in that sense, but I'm taking defending Division 7 state champ Bangor to repeat. They play Edgar in the semifinal. Edgar is like one of the programs that's just always at this level, but they kind of snuck up on people. They weren't in the state rankings all year, and yet as a fourth seed, they're just plowing through the playoffs, so it is risky to take anybody against Edgar in general, but I'm still going to go ahead and go with the number one team in D7. And that first game, that Thursday morning game at Camp Randall we'll already know after that first game whether or not one of us has all of their picks remaining.
Oh boy. All right. Well, this gets tough for me. After my top five, it gets really tough. I'm going to clue you in on what I'm deciding here, and I might deviate from my rankings. My two teams that I'm going to pick from are Notre Dame Academy, so the team that's playing Catholic Memorial, or Darlington.
Yes.
Darlington has wonder child Hunter Johnson at tailback, who is
going to walk out of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and probably should be on scholarship. Going to go ahead and say that because the things that he's doing to opposing teams are just filthy. Yes. It's scary because I don't want them to play Springs because, as we've said, Springs is the perennial state champion if there's ever been a state champion. But when you have somebody who's rushed for 2,009 yards in how many games has he played? He hasn't even played every game, has he? Like, wasn't he out for a little while?
I don't know about that for sure. I do know that he doesn't play most full games because Darlington
against
is always Southwestern, so far ahead.
Against Southwestern, they won 84-6. He had 5 carries for 144 yards.
That's a good average.
An average of 28.8.
Yes, that's
against Cuba City, 13 carries for 360 yards, 27.7 per carry. Kid has 40 touchdowns this year. So I like him. I don't like that he's playing Springs. But again, Notre Dame is the defending champion. They have to play Rice Lake, and then they get CMH. And Notre Dame is also battle-tested. They just played Luxembourg Casco and won. Oh, this is tough. This is really tough. What should I do?
I know what I would advise you to do, but I think what I would advise you to do would wind up benefiting me. So I probably am just going to go ahead and let you make this call.
All right. I'm going to pull my inner Ted Thompson and make a terrible choice if that's what I'm doing. But I'm going to pull my inner Ted Thompson and just trust my board, trust my draft board as I prepared it. And I'm taking Notre Dame.
All right. All right. Well, I got to say that's disappointing to me. As I am loath to pick Darlington, since I have the team they're facing in the state semifinal, and I don't want to hedge my bets. I want to go all in on everything. And I do think Notre Dame could win the D3 title. So I was going to pick them. You have confounded me a little bit. Congratulations.
I've thwarted you.
Yeah. And so now I'm in a little bit of trouble because I don't want to take a team in D1 other than Kimberly or Franklin, and I like the two D3 teams that are there. So I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna take a Division 3 team. I'm gonna take the sleeper of my five. I'm gonna take Pewaukee. And
wow.
I've seen Pewaukee play 4 times this year. And I've seen Catholic Memorial twice. I think Catholic Memorial is the better team. But I am so impressed with Pewaukee's defensive front, and I feel like they can give problems to anybody who makes their living running the football. Now CMH can pass too, but CMH primarily wants to run the football, and I feel like if it's a low-scoring game, it's just going to be a play or two, and that could favor anybody. There's no methodology you can determine there. So I'm gonna sneak into the Division III field. I'm gonna throw Pewaukee on my list and maybe do a little bit of cheering now for the Pirates when they match up with CMH on Friday.
Yeah, just so there a little. It is. No, I mean, hey, almost nothing would make me happier if Pewaukee could win a title. I mean, it's crazy because, I mean, I see them as third or even fourth most likely to do it. But
no, I agree.
But no, good for them if they can do it. I mean, any coaches out there listening, we're not saying that we hate you and that we don't like your program and you should go away. We're just trying to beat each other. And when we get competitive, sometimes we have to pick against a team that you coach. And apologies, a million apologies for that.
So the, again, level four, the football playoffs, all of those games are on Friday night. Subsequent Thursday and Friday, you'll get the state championship games at Camp Randall in Madison. Those games will be live on TV. Myself, JP Cador, and a cast of others likely to be there, at least for the Friday games. I don't know if you're going up for Thursday or not, but
I might. There's a good chance. I have Little Chute, Cedar Grove, Belgium, and Hilbert Stockbridge all alive in Division 4, 5, and 7. I mean, there's a chance I could have more teams or just as many teams on Thursday as Friday. So it'd be hard not to cover both days, but yeah. I will be there. You are right. I will definitely be there Friday. We'll see about Thursday.
All right. Sounds good. Since our last podcast, go ahead.
Wait. The one thing we didn't think of, I think we need a tiebreaker here.
Oh, because there's a pretty good chance we end up tied. Yeah.
If we end up 3-3 or something like that, my proposal, please let me know if you think otherwise, the score of the D1 title game. The closest to the actual score.
I like it. Yep, I like it.
And then the second tiebreaker is whoever's closest to the winning team. So if we're both like 3 points away from each team, whoever's closest to the winning team.
Okay, fine. Give me a final score for the D1 title game.
Well, since based on my rankings, I think it's going to be Kimberly over Franklin. I'm anticipating a lot of points. And so having said that, I'm going to go with 34-31. Kimberly. All right.
Very good. I am going to go with a bigger spread. I'm going to say 40-19. 40-19. We're going to say Kimberly wins easily. Now, I don't know. Maybe I'm totally off base there, but that's where I'm thinking on that one.
And again, as much as I love my Badgers, you know, if it's Kimberly against Badger, I probably would have predicted a different score. But as it were, we're doing this so that we have the most teams to choose from and we're having fun with it. So listen, Badger, go Badgers. Kimberly, go Papermakers. Franklin, go Sabres. Stevens Point, go home. We don't need you. You take your basketball titles and run. So
may the best head win, JP.
Oh, love it. Just love it.
Since we last had our podcast, there have been a couple state championships handed out, girls volleyball and boys soccer among them this past weekend. Two of the absolute biggest programs across all sports, Catholic Memorial Girls Volleyball and Marquette Boys Soccer, both came away with gold balls, so that comes as no surprise. Whitefish Bay defended the Division II state championship, so good for the Blue Dukes. I think Delvin Darien won in Division III, Racine St. Catharines in Division IV, so a lot of greater Milwaukee area schools coming away with championships there. Nina, one of your schools, won the Division I volleyball title. They had a lot coming back from last year's state quarterfinalists, so they end up winning pretty convincingly.
At this point next year, every school is going to be my school. When this charter takeover happens, who knows? I might be statewide, and then all of a sudden I just cover schools. I don't cover Milwaukee schools or Fox Valley schools. I just cover schools, man.
Where are you going to live? You're going to have to live in like Stevens Point or someplace in the central part of the state.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I am all about that.
Yeah, it's very lovely out there, JP. You'll like
Sarcasm font. I miss it going up north, man. I haven't been in a long time. I need to get up there.
Yeah, I agree with you. They have a lot more trees than we do down here in Milwaukee. So real quickly, JP, I wanted to touch on something that you saw over the weekend, the alumni hockey game, the NHL alumni hockey game. Red Wings, Blackhawks. Yes, those Red Wings and yes, those Blackhawks had an alumni hockey game at the Mullet Center at Arrowhead High School. It was this sort of first of its kind event in Wisconsin.
Yes, that Mullet Center as well.
Yeah. Very interesting. Tons of people turned out for it. The interest in that thing was sky high. I know you're a huge hockey guy, so I'm going to give you the platform talking about hockey and Arrowhead, your two favorite things in the world. What'd you like about that one? I bet that was pretty fun.
Yeah, rather than just give me a platform, interview. What would you want to know first about the event?
Was it as awesome as it looked in the pictures?
Yes, it was as full as it looked in the pictures, and it was as cool as it looked in the pictures. It was a little less than my heart was set on, though.
I see. And tell me why.
Because of the names. Because, I mean, now they did grab, each team had about five or six NHL alumni on each side, which is incredible. The problem for me as a 30-year-old man is that some of the alumni were quite alumni-ish, if you catch my drift. I mean,
they were in the stage where their grandkids could also be alumni at this point.
Correct, and I think there were some of their grandkids skating along with them. I'm not even kidding. So the list of players is great for somebody who's a huge fan of hockey and just loves seeing NHL players. So it was good. It was not the big names that I had thought. Chris Chelios was there, obviously the biggest name, a future NFL Hall of Famer, maybe current. How long has he been out? Anyway, definite Hall of Famer, so that was great. Carl Valmont skated, who is the current head coach at Arrowhead. He was my head coach when I played at Arrowhead, but played for the Admirals for a few years. So a very good hockey player. So he was out there. It was great. I mean, literally every seat was filled, and then lining the rink was completely filled with people standing as well. So it was a great event, benefited a couple causes. The Arrowhead Youth Hockey Program, I think, was first and foremost. So it was pretty great. I will give it that.
When I first did the story, threw out some names of people who had initially said they were going to be there, and with the understanding that things come up, I mean, not everybody can make every event. Ed Belfour was a name that had been thrown out. In fact, they said he's a goalie, but they said he would be skating around and wanted to skate out a little bit. But I did only really recognize Chris Chelios' name when I saw some of the guys that were there.
Yeah, I mean, Mickey Redmond is a legendary hockey player from the 60s. You know, I mean, Fred Barry is another legend, also an Admirals legend from a long time ago. He's also the owner, or at least the operator of the Hockey Haven stores. So
yes.
Any hockey, yeah. So there were big names. They just weren't enormous names. You know, that Darren McCarty and Chris Draper were other two names that you threw out. You might not have even known who they were.
No, I did. I do.
Those are guys that won Stanley Cups with the Red Wings in like 98 and 02. And unfortunately they didn't make it either, but it was good. I mean, they had made passing references to, you know, next year. So apparently there's a thought of doing it again. And it would be, I mean, it's fantastic to have something like that.
Yeah, that was a cool event. First time they've done that in Wisconsin. I think it just goes to show that there's a lot of love for Red Wings and Blackhawks and hockey in general. But like those two fan bases, they really do kind of intersect here. It's kind of an interesting Venn diagram.
You can't go wrong with that. The Red Wings fan base is a lot like the Packers in that you can go to any arena in the league and you'll find Red Wings fans there. And Blackhawks, with all they've done over the past decade, obviously there's a huge fan base with them as well. So that it was the two perfect franchises. If it was Islanders against Oilers alumni, not so great. But you get those two, and you're getting a good turnout.
All right, JP, what else are we seeing on Time Warner Cable Sports Channel this week?
Like literally a bunch of good stuff. First of all, there's a half-hour special about Catching Excellence about Bart Starr and Vince Lombardi. Highly recommend that, since we are now mostly Packers and high school. That's a cool thing that I didn't have a hand in, so it was cool to watch the finished product. High school coverage, obviously, we had live games. Who were our games last week? I think it was, do we have Kimberly Fond du Lac? I know we had Brookfield Central, Brook East, so that's a replay you can get. Yeah, so that watched Sam Santiago Lloyd and is becoming a man in level 3 against Brookfield Central. So
Dude was already a man. Dude's been killing people all year.
So that was good. So a lot of good stuff like that. We have our games on Friday night again. We have Badger Franklin and Kimberly Stevens Point. So the two Division I matchups on Friday night. And we're fully into everything, man. And now that basketball is starting, we had Marquette's exhibition against Rockhurst on Saturday. We have Oak Creek Girls High School basketball on my show tonight on Sports Weekly. So a little bit of everything.
On LakeCountryNow.com, you can find my First and Short blog, which has been providing bite-sized stories about the football season throughout the year, and especially in the playoffs. Talk to Steve Rux at Waukesha West, the head coach, whose teams frequently have these 2,000-yard rushers. We've only had 7 in our area in the past decade, and Waukesha West has had 3 of them. Joe Schobert, you know him, Elijah Fort, and then this year Peter McCudden, and then West did lose to Monona Grove, but Peter McCudden in his junior year went over 2,000 yards. So talk to him about the offensive line there and what has made that so successful, and that's getting quite a bit of traffic. And then also you'll find my article about what we talked about at the beginning of the show, Friday Night Football in Wisconsin, Big Ten football intersecting with Wisconsin high school football, and why that's just not that big a deal. That'll be my Prep Alcove column for the week.
Nice. And do we know where you'll be this Friday night?
I will not be at a football game. I'm covering the boys' volleyball state tournament in Wauwatosa in my neighborhood. Going to catch Arrowhead, who was a little bit of a surprise qualifier. My alma mater, Kakana, is going to be there. Going to check out Tosa East and Catholic Memorial. We've got always heavy Milwaukee area representation there. So that is where I will be. I'll be following along closely on the Twitter to see what's going on around the state on the gridiron.
Beautiful. I'm guessing my most likely scenario is catching Catholic Memorial against Pewaukee. Although not for certain. Although one thing that's appealing to me is seeing Cedar Grove, Belgium. They're playing Clinton and it's out at Slinger. So something that's kind of far away, but not far away, and a team that I haven't covered all year, so might head there as well.
Yeah, that would be interesting. This could be the year, JP, the year of Clinton. That's what I think right now.
With that, I am definitely saying goodbye.
Yes. Thank you for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoy the life after the election, and we will chat with you again next week.
Yes. If you're listening, it means that the world has not ended. So I guess all ended well.
See you later, friends.
Goodbye.